Next call, so we'll go on with it.
Yep. Tony Harris or Tony Holmes?
Tony Harris.
Hello, Tony Harris.
And
hello,
Philip
how
will
are you?
Be on this call too. He has let me know.
Philip? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Hello, this is John Bing now joined.
Hi, John.
Hello. Hello, please.
Hi, Philip joining.
Hi, Philip, please.
Who else have we got?
Tony, Craig.
Is he Robin Gross, Ned Jones?
Robin, John Bing, and Craig Schwartz.
Hello?
Oh, hi, Christina.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good, how are you doing?
I'm well.
Good. I just sent you a note to say we'll go ahead with 20 after this for as many as who can join.
Okay.
Yep. And I got a note from David.
Is Evie Dorian now joins?
Hi, Evie.
Hi. Hi, Evie.
Sorry about the date challenge, Evie. What a dummy.
I've got it right. I'm writing it in Swedish style, which also allows for easy sorting.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. I knew there was a reason for that. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8... 9. I'm not going to count me or Craig, so 7. Shall we just wait for 30 seconds more to see who else is going to join? Who's that?
It's John Evans.
Hi, John. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay. Shall we kick off? Because we seem to have somebody from each of the constituencies.
Liz, sorry, can you send me a little list of participants? I see you.
Yeah, I'm writing it down here.
Okay.
I don't have a registry. I think that David Maher was part of this group last week.
Yes.
And I don't know whether he will join. Chuck sent him the details. Shall we just wait a little second?
You've got no excuse because we ended the Who Is call early. It's given you at least half an hour.
Yeah, you're such a bossy old thing, Philip. Public schoolboy, honestly.
No.
So David Maher, did he mention anything about
that? He was sent a message.
Yeah, he was, I know. Okay, I suggest because we've got limited time and another call and people are on the phone from the Who Is call, and of course, after the Who Is call, everyone's in the mood for consensus, so it should be easy. No laughing, Philip. Okay, Glenn, do you want to do a roll call or shall I, because I've been writing it down?
Could you please, Liz, I haven't been.
Yep, sure. John Nevitt.
Here.
Thanks. Avery?
Yep.
Christina Rosette?
Yep.
Philip Shepherd?
Yep.
John Bing?
Yes.
Craig Schwartz?
Yes.
Tony Harris?
Yes.
Anybody else?
Robin Gross.
Thank you, Robin. I did have you on my list. Thank you very much, Robin Gross. And me, Liz Williams, and Glenda Saint-Géry. Would anyone like to volunteer to coordinate the call? I did it last week, and it's actually quite a challenge taking notes and coordinating at the same time. So I'm happy for somebody else to do it, but I'm also happy to do it at the same time. Thank you, volunteers. I'll take silences that I'll do it, which is fine. The call is being recorded, and I'll just start. Bugger, I've taken the roll call before the call is being recorded. I'll just do it now. Sorry, bear with me 1 second.
Liz?
I think she just disappeared into operator land. Very eerie when that happened.
That didn't seem to work.
Hey, Liz, this is John. I had a quick question before you start the recording.
Yeah, sure.
There seems to be an inconsistency in this subgroup, if you call it a subgroup, in that the emails are not being publicly available, or not publicly available, but the recordings are still being made. Is there, you know, is there a reason to have one way or the other?
Sorry, John. Go ahead.
Sorry, I said the email traffic that we had on this topic is not publicly available, but we're still recording. So my question is that a deliberate inconsistency, or am I mistaken?
No, it's certainly not. And John, frankly, the recordings and the MP3 recordings are mostly for my benefit, so I can go back and check things from what people say. What is your preference? Because we don't have to record it, but Glenn has been very kindly doing that because it gives me the chance to revise things after I've been participating in the call. But I have no issue if you don't wish them to be available. They are available on, they are posted on the GNSO's website if you wish to have them after. What would you prefer?
No, I'll just leave it up to the group, but there seems to be an inconsistency, so...
Yes, but I can explain the other part of the inconsistency, John, was that there was just a small group of volunteers, and Glenn had suggested that it wasn't very practical to set up separated Recommendation 6 and Recommendation 20 mailing lists for the small groups for the short period of time that we were going to use them. And much of the traffic has been coming back onto the main list for the GTLD Council, the committee list anyway. Is there something that you thought you'd missed or you didn't have, or was it a different concern?
No, I guess my concern was the inconsistent treatment, and if you have substantive conversations on mail that aren't available, or publicly available, maybe
I understand what you're saying.
Be publicly available either.
This is Robert. It's probably something we should look at in terms of sort of doing these new quick spin-off discussion groups. It's kind of new, and we probably should look at what's the right way to do it. I think the inconsistency just comes from some stuff got done and some stuff didn't while we're figuring out how to do these.
This is Marlon Dan Duane.
Thank you, David.
I've been posting all my relevant comments for the small group to the main list anyway, because we're all on that.
Yes, and also, John, I've also been posting any of the updates that have either come out of the Recommendation 6 or Recommendation 20. You'll have seen the continual update. This is what the small group did. This is what the text happened. This is how it was done. This is what was discussed. So, yes, I understand your point, and we'll try to deal with that differently in the future, but I think... If your point is about transparency and access and decisions being made appropriately, then I think that everyone's doing their best efforts to try to get work done. And, of course, anyone can listen to the MP3 recording if they wish later, even though it's torture to listen to them.
Okay, thanks.
Is that all right? Yeah?
Yeah. No, I just wanted to raise it as an issue, but obviously people are thinking about it. So that's...
Yeah, definitely. David, welcome. You've arrived just in time, and I'll quickly whiz round, and in a minute I'm going to start the recording, and then I'll just... do a very quick recording for the benefit of the MP3 for all of the names. Just hold one second and I'll just start with the operator.
Conference is now being recorded.
Thank you, operator. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining. I'll just, for the purposes of recording, read back the roll call. David Maher, John Nevitt, me, Liz Williams, Avery Doria, Christina Rosette, Robin Gross, Philip Shepherd, John Bing, Craig Schwartz, and Tony Harris. I think that's everybody. Thank you very much for coming, and I really appreciate everybody. I know it's a very busy schedule. This is the Recommendation 6 call, which is about the strings must not be contrary to generally accepted legal norms. This is the second, just to set out what I think perhaps might be the purpose of the call, this is the second chance that we're having to see if we can get to a point of consensus on Recommendation 6. Philip just sent around to the general list a resend of the current stable text. And I just wanted to be sure that everybody had that in front of them. And I can just
do you also have the language, I'm sorry, John, do you also have the language that we agreed upon last week?
Yes, I do, John, yes. And that went around to everybody also in the, and I'll read both if you wish, John.
I think my text was taking that language and going on from the discussion we had, wasn't it? At least that was his intention.
You didn't participate in the last week's discussion, so what I'm asking for is, I see this language is that you're proposing. I'd just like to see the language that those of us on the call last week had come up with.
Yep, just wait a second and I'll get that. Hang on a second.
That'd be great, thank you.
Yes, Philip, just to be clear, we're talking about two separate groups. The subgroup last week came up with some text that was agreed, and then that was taken back to the committee meeting last week on Friday.
Ah, sorry, and I participated in the committee meeting, quite right. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So,
got it.
Yep, got that?
Yeah.
I'll just get the recommendation 6 text up. What I might do, John, for the purposes of the last week's small group, because everybody who was on that is now on this call, I'll read that first, and then I'll read the historically agreed text. So the small group text reads as follows. Strings must not be contrary to generally accepted and internationally recognized principles of law. We'll stop. And then there's an illustrative second paragraph which goes with that. Okay. Examples of such principles of law include, but are not limited to, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the Paris Convention on the Protection of Intellectual Property, the Agreement on Trade-Related Aspects of Intellectual Property, which is TRIPS, the Berne Convention on the Protection of Literary and Artistic Works, the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, and the International Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination. Just leaving aside for a moment the first sentence, a couple of improvements were made on the descriptive examples, which was to include text which Philip suggested about the intellectual property treaties that are administered by WIPO, which would have removed the reference to the specific thing on the Paris Convention and on TRIPS. The removal of the Berne Convention. Sorry, Philip, did you have something to say?
Yes, the treaty administered by WIPO removed the reference to
Paris
and Berne,
but not
to TRIPS.
I can read what I recorded as a revision of that during the meeting, if you like.
Abby, it's okay, actually, because what I think we need to do is focus on the first sentence, because
that's
the nub of the issue, and then we can deal with the examples later, if you don't mind. For today, this is what Philip thinks. Is the stable text that we've to date based on our latest discussions. And I'm not going to read the examples. I'm going to just read the first line, which is strings must not be contrary. Yes, Philip, go ahead.
I was going to say, can we just get the group's understanding and buy-off to the examples list?
Sure. Do you want to work backwards then? I'm pretty sure that's okay because I have got that in front of me and I was going to read that there. And examples of such principles of law include, but are not limited to, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, intellectual property treaties administered by the World Intellectual Property Organization, the WTO Agreement on Trade-Related Aspects of Intellectual Property Rights, which is TRIPS, the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, and the International Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination. So that was the agreed set of examples, which was deleting Paris and Berne. Is that, you're happy with that then, Philip?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes,
let's leave that aside.
Exactly. That was a simplification,
So let's leave the second paragraph aside.
Could I ask one question on that?
Yes, Tom, go ahead.
I think Philip raised it on the council or the task force call. I forget what term, Philip, you used about essentially a bunch of novices looking at this kind of thing. So I guess my question is, should we run this by some international law expert just to get some buy-off from someone who's not a novice?
Oh, John, I can answer that question for you. A request has gone out for a very specific legal advice on international law, including human rights and freedom of expression. So that actually will be done.
Great.
It's actually under preparation at this very moment. And so that list and it is an illustrative list, can be confirmed in implementation. But we're waiting on that legal advice. So, yes, that is indeed taking place.
So who's doing that legal advice?
Sorry, Robin, who did you... Sorry, I didn't hear you.
I'm asking who have we asked to do this advice?
There's been a couple of requests put out to different firms, and we're just waiting to receive the proposals back from them.
Law firms?
Beg your pardon?
You said is this coming from a law?
Yes, it is.
Liz, hi, it's Craig.
Oh, hi, Craig.
Jones Day is going to be doing the first round of research for us, so people know who the firm is.
Thanks, Craig. I'd forgotten, actually. I thought that was the other one that we were doing.
Yeah.
Sorry, Liz. This is Tom Bing.
Hi, Tom. Yes.
There was one point made with the reference to the examples list, and that was that the sequence, the order in which they were named, would be revised when it was stable.
Yes, I was actually going to do it alphabetically.
I thought that revision was indeed the order that Liz read.
Well,
does it need further revision? And I don't know that we need to do that in this group, but we can.
I was only thinking that it seems they come sort of helter-skelter. It would, I think, be perhaps convenient to have the intellectual property references grouped together and the freedom of expression examples grouped together.
Okay.
But it was only, if there's any disagreement, that's only an editorial point, so there's no importance.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, John. I'll work with that one. So, John, that answered your question. Robin, you know who it is. Thank you, Craig, for providing that. And, John, I've got your point about grouping them incorrectly in a logical order.
Yeah, and, Liz, if we can do that before tomorrow's meeting.
Yeah, that's fine.
So that when we go through it at tomorrow's meeting, it's in the revised order.
Sure, hang on a second. I'll just be taking a note on this. Just bear with me one second, if you wouldn't mind. And I'm going to do it in John's example of human rights and then freedom of expression. Yep. Okay. That brings us to the rather harder question, which is essentially, and I don't know how the group want to characterize this, but essentially a choice between two formulations. The one is reading strings must not be contrary to generally accepted norms relating to morality and public order that are recognized under international principles of law, and the other one, which we had from last week. And that says strings must not be contrary to generally accepted and internationally recognized principles of law. I don't quite know how the group wants to handle the conversation. Perhaps we could just have an open floor for the moment for people to just express opinions, and then we'll see if we can reach some decision. I've got the call scheduled for an hour, and we're already 19 minutes into it, and we'll do recommendation 20 call after this, so we've got perhaps an hour and a half.
Okay, well, perhaps I'm happy to kick off and explain the discussion we had on the main committee last week on this. First and foremost, I think the whole origin of this recommendation was to do with morality and public order. So I can see no logic at all in removing the words morality and public order. If that's a decision of the subgroup, then I think we just scrap the recommendation, full stop, is the first point. But secondly, I think more importantly, unless you have that narrowing caveat in that the recommendation is only referring to this part, then the principles and examples this we give suddenly grow to enormous and unmanageable lengths in terms of the international principles of law that we're trying to factor in, which makes implementation impossible. So just to reiterate that I think it's essential we have the limiting and clarifying intent, morality and public order wording as part of it.
This is John Bing. I agree to that. It seems to me that the norms on morality and public order is a subset of the wider formulation. So they are included there, only not by explicit reference. And I would have thought that it would be an argument on the basis of freedom of expression that we shouldn't have that broad reference, but have the reference narrowed down to principles of morality and public order, or there might be a difficulty with the exact choice of words, and there may be different choice of words which have more or less the same implication, for instance, using the word ethical, but I'm not an ethical rather than morality, but I have, this is a, that would be a language question in which I'm certainly not qualified. Thank you.
Anyone else wanted to just be part of the open floor for a second, please?
Sure, this is Christina. I agree with Philip and John in that I think we do need to have that narrowing language of morality and public order, although I should note that I'm still not clear as to whether we want morality or public order, and that if we are not willing to have that language, then I think we either do need to scrap the recommendation or come up with other wording that clearly limits the scope of this recommendation, because leaving it at kind of the original submission as it's set out on Avery's chart is just so incredibly broad that, frankly, I don't think we're doing anyone any good.
This is Avery. Can I add a comment?
Go ahead, Avery.
From a personal perspective.
It's a big voice, Avery. It's a bit hard to hear you.
Oh, okay. From a personal perspective, I'm looking at this. I understand the arguments about the limitation, and I kind of like something Christina said about not knowing about either morality or public order. And if I were to look at it in terms of wanting to limit it, when we speak about public order, we are speaking about things that, for better or for worse, people have codified into laws and we're stuck living with it. When we speak about morality or ethics, both of which are such general terms and not indeed codified anywhere except in theological and ethical work, it seems to me much more problematic. So I'm wondering whether people are willing to consider leaving public order but dropping morality. And so we're still limiting it. In fact, we're limiting it further to that which is definable in law.
Philip, I have to make a response to that. I think you're actually wrong. The reason that we came up with that phrasing in the first place, morality in public order, is precisely because it is found in international law.
Yeah, I know it's found in, for example, Article 29, and I believe it's always stuck in because there are those that want religious books to govern. However, I don't know that we need to make that same commitment.
I'm not party to the interpretation of those who drafted the UDRP, so I couldn't comment on that. All we were trying to do was not to do anything different to where international law is at the moment.
I just had a clarifying question to ask, to pose to the group, if you don't mind. One of the challenges that I'm having with this discussion is that it sounds like people disagree both sides of the coin and can prove their point either way. One of the things that I'd like to think to ask the group to think about is what this would look like in implementation. So, for example, there is no doubt that we will receive an application from somebody somewhere in the world that would raise a small m and small p and small o, morality and public order, question, or an ethical question or a religious question, that we're going to have to deal with somehow. So if you use the one example, which was to scrap the recommendation altogether, then from ICANN's point of view, we have no guidance about how to deal with those applications that we know will come in and that we know we'll receive objections from. So we'd have no guidance about how to deal with that from a policy perspective. The middle ground is then so that's removing it altogether. The next step is including morality and public order as a limiting set of calibrating parameters that enable us to deal in some way with some things. And then the last piece is removing the phrase morality and public order altogether, which opens it right up. And I think Craig said this on the last call, that would open it up to an enormously difficult implementation test. So I just urge us all to, while we're discussing this, to think about not necessarily what the recommendation actually says, but how one would implement it, and then what we would do with it in the application evaluation process. Because these are a set of recommendations about an application process that ICANN needs to administer.
So, this is John. Is the staff recommendation then to go with the the current language based on implementation?
I'm not making any recommendation at all about the language, John. I'm just urging the group to think about the impact of it in implementation.
Okay, well, I guess from my perspective, I agree with you that number three, meaning scrap the whole thing, doesn't make any sense. And where I am is on the fence between including the language or not, the language being the clause, public order and morality, because
order.
The concern of including it, because I think either way we get to it with the second, with the broader language and with the example. So what I'm trying to weigh is Philip's statement that the essentially the broadness of the comments would overwhelm the issue and essentially make it difficult on implementation versus the lightning rod that we'll see by having that clause in there. And so that's where I'm coming down from it. And I looked at other comments on that, because you know it's going to be a cause célèbre for folks. You know, that ICANN's deciding issues of public morality, morality and public order.
I just had one additional. Thank you very much, John. I just had one additional question to make. Parameter setting statement, really, is that I think that from my analysis of what the committee's challenge is, that this is only going to be one piece in a very large puzzle of other. Inputs that the board is going to have to make a final decision on in terms of approving the policy and then putting it into implementation. And the challenge that I've got is, with respect to writing the final report, to explain what we end up doing is, and Robin, you need to confirm this for me if you can, it has been fairly clear that the NCUC, for example, was going to submit a minority report, which would be included as a normal part of the course of the writing up of the report. I would suggest to the group that if we can reach some kind of consensus, it makes the genocide's work much stronger in terms of representing that to the board and then discussing it with the GAC, and then we need to run a public comment period. So even though we might be turning ourselves inside out on the correct formulation of this exact recommendation, how it looks in implementation may well be entirely different. So I just wanted to put that little frame around what's going to happen to this particular piece of work. Did anyone else want to make any general comments, and then we can go to the specifics, I think, of drafting?
I would like to.
Sorry, there was a cue there. Robin?
Yes.
Craig?
And Greg.
And anyone else?
Philip.
Anyone?
John Bing.
John Bing. Christina?
Tony Harris.
Yep.
Tony Harris. Yep, got it. Anyone else? Okay, that's everyone. Robin, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I think that the nightmare in implementation that you're concerned about by removing those words is already there. We already have the nightmare of implementation with those words there, and removing them isn't going to make it any more of a nightmare. I mean, we already have the situation to deal with where there are conflicting laws, conflicting ideas about morality, and whether or not those words are there or not, it doesn't change the fact that we have a nightmare in terms of implementation with this recommendation.
Thanks, Robin. Craig, go ahead.
Yeah, actually, I think Christina pretty much just made a comment that was similar to what I was going to say. And although on last week's call, I voiced concern about removing morality and public order and then it becoming this free-for-all, I wonder, and this question is probably more directed at the lawyers on the call than anything because I'm not one, but if we removed morality and public order and it was more broad, what other, if you will, functional areas might fall under the guise of generally accepted norms that are recognized under international principles of law? You know, morality is under that, public order is under that. What other elements might be, you know, objectionable under a broader defined wording for this? And if we can't come up with any, then maybe removing those words is not as big a concern as I thought it was last week.
Philip, I'm happy to reply to that.
You were next in the queue, Philip, so could you reply and go on with
In terms of reply, yes. Absolutely any intellectual property right, copyright, author's name, personal name, something similar to a personal name, a country name, a language, absolutely, you know, you've got a list as long as your arm, Craig, so it's a disaster to have the board rolling in. I just, you know, like I said before, the whole purpose of this was to avoid abusive names and to give ICANN a mechanism to have an objection process for those. And I think we just need to be clear that that is our intent. And this distraction to try to take out the phrasing morality in public order, I just find bizarre discussion, frankly, because the objective is to avoid abusive names. And I'm not on a recorded conversation going to give examples of abusive names, but I'm sure all of us could do so in our own minds.
Thanks, Philip. That was really helpful.
Philip, was that your contribution as well as your reply?
It was.
Thank you. I'm John Bing.
Yes, I could add to Philip's list all the principles involving free trade, or which are embodied in the WTO context, which easily could be looked upon as international principles. So I can't really see, give clear examples of how they would violate, how a domain name would violate this. It seems to me that it is quite true that some will argue that ICANN deciding on morality and public order is a problem. But I can certainly see, and I certainly have personal knowledge of international fora where the opposite also would be true, that if you there said that ICANN is not recognizing limitations for morality and public order for top-level domains, that would be seen as slightly or bit looked upon with a rather negative perspective. And I honestly think that that is, for me, a rather major concern, the standing of ICANN in the international community. And I think that, however you look at it, it will raise problem. But I think that to recognize that this is a responsibility we take upon us is to be, will be seen as important.
This is David. Did I get in the queue?
Yes, David. Christina, you were next in the queue.
I just wanted to clarify that my suggestion that if we don't keep the words, we need to scrap them, that's frankly my third choice preference. I would much prefer that we keep those words in, and in lieu of that, then come up with some alternate descriptors that would have the same limiting effect. But I just wanted to be clear on that.
Thanks, Christina. Tony Harris?
Yes, I agree with what Philip said and also John Bing. And I am also of the opinion that it's rather a bizarre discussion. I don't think that worrying about ICANN as being perceived as deciding on morality and public order, what it means, is really a relevant question. I mean, you have children accessing the Internet in every country, and I think every country protects children from exposure to any sort of morality concerns in different ways, but I think it's pretty much prevalent in most countries. So to completely leave that open, and anybody can register, can apply for a string, which would be, as Philip said, we can imagine different names that could be applied for. And ICANN, in the name of free speech and, you know, we don't interfere with what people want to say, just to sit on the sidelines and say this is okay, that doesn't sound right to me.
Thank you, Tony. I'm David Maher. You were in the queue.
Yeah, I just wanted to add a perspective on this. You should remember that ICANN incorporated in the state of California, and its charter provides that ICANN is dedicated to promoting the global public interest in the Internet. And the public interest is a phrase that comes really from partly from U.S. law, although I believe it has connotations that are translatable into other languages. But in U.S. law, it comes from administrative law, things like the Federal Communications Commission licensing radio and television stations to serve the public interest. So we, in the U.S., we see the public interest as a context, and we're, even though ICANN has an international board of directors, it still operates in this context of trying to promote the public interest and avoiding doing things that are contrary to the public interest, which certainly includes some concepts of morality, for instance, protection of children from abuse.
Tony, David, were you done?
Yeah.
I don't know whether you're on a mobile, but if you're not, I wonder if you could sit still when you're speaking. It was very crackly, but I could hear what you say, but it wasn't very clear. Did anyone have any... I wanted to wrap up the sort of general discussion. Did anyone have anything else they wish to add? Because there's quite a diversity of views there.
Liz, may I pose a question? It's Miriam.
Yes. Oh, hi, Miriam. I didn't even know you were there.
Yeah, I joined earlier, but I didn't want to...
Yep, thank you.
Okay. A few speakers expressed some concern that if the broader language was adopted, that there might be otherwise it would be difficult to know exactly what how broad it could be interpreted. My question is, how does that concern relate to the current text of recommendations? I'm not trying to open 3 in any way, but just if 3 is accepted as currently written, and it refers to the legal rights of others recognized under international law, how is the broader 6, I'm wondering, different from current recommendations 3?
Would anyone like to take that on? Thank you, Miriam.
Well, Philip, it's a very good question, and the point is that they start to fudge, because once you remove from recommendation 6 the intent that we have, which is a stopping the potential stopping of abusive words, the suggested alternative phrasing becomes very similar to, it becomes sufficiently broad to accommodate recommendation 3. But I wouldn't advise going back to recommendation 3, because we've already managed to produce focus there. And I hope we can do the same with recommendation 6.
My question goes to the fact that if 6 is seen as too broad, then what does that do to 3?
Well, if 6 is only too broad, if we take out morality in public order, with morality in public order in, it remains narrow.
So the concern, what I'm trying to understand is the concerns that were expressed about having 3 and how it might lead to, it might be a dangerous path because there would be rights, unclear rights could be asserted. Does that concern also relate to current 3?
Not to my view, because we've narrowed 3 sufficiently to be clear as to the intent.
Thanks, Miriam. Thank you, Philip. I'd like to now turn to the job at hand, which is, now that we've got everybody's views in place, what do we do with the text? One of the things that perhaps might help us make a decision about this, and I wanted to echo some of the concerns that David Maher had raised, is that this is about an application process for enabling us to deal with particular kinds of applications to which people may object, or groups may object, or governments may object. If we have no recommendation in place, then it's going to make it quite difficult for us to deal with those in a transparent and pre-published way. So I wonder if we could then turn, and I don't know whether it, first of all, a question for the group, is it helpful to think about the drafting, or is it more helpful to ask the question about which formulations either individuals or constituencies support as it stands? Because there's two quite different formulations.
Can I ask a question before that?
Yeah, go ahead, Avery.
Okay, hi. During the meeting, a hybrid had developed, because one of the things that was being dealt with was, while leaving in, and I just wanted to put this on the table, while leaving in the language about morality and public order, there had been the question about the enforceability. And so I don't know whether we're dealing with the original language or dealing with the hybrid that was sort of evolving during the last meeting, which I had recorded as strings must not be contrary to generally accepted legal norms relating to morality and public order that are generally accepted and internationally recognized principles of law. And it left out the enforceability word, which has also been a problem. So I just wanted to make sure that that was still on the table.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. In response, the wording that I sent ground had indeed picked up that same point and dropped
enforced. I didn't see that. So
it was a slightly different phrasing because you had generally accepted twice, but the enforced is gone.
Okay. Yeah. And that was partly a contribution last week of John Bing and others.
Yeah.
So I wonder then if I could just come back to my question. Is it now a point at which one chooses one of either formulation, or is there a preliminary step that we do a little more work on the phrasing? And the supplementary question to that is, Robin, with respect to the piece that included morality and public order, it was the NCUC's, still the NCUC's intention, or anyone else's on the constituency's intention, to submit a minority report on whatever formulation?
Could I ask a question on that, Tony Harris?
Yes, please, Tony.
How do these options you just mentioned relate to the schedule we have to fulfill?
At some point, we have to, Tony, stop the discussion and come down with what the majority supports. And I'm trying to determine what the majority supports through this call so we can report back to the bigger group on tomorrow afternoon.
Right. Can't we do that now?
If that's for the will of group, then that's what I'd like to do.
Yeah, and then basically I'll take whatever this group comes up with into tomorrow's meeting, and then we have to settle on the language that goes in, and then those of us that are still at variance with it or any part of it can contribute our variance statements.
Yep, exactly. Is that clear, Tony?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Okay, so then if nobody objects, then it actually comes down to a choice between two formulations. The first one is the one that was agreed by the small group last week, and I'll read it again. Strings must not be contrary to generally accepted and internationally recognized principles of law. The second formulation has strings must not be contrary to generally accepted legal norms relating to morality and public order that are recognized under international principles of law. Whichever formulation is chosen, the list of examples, which will be put in the correct order and grouped properly, will remain the same for the moment. So given that we have members from each of the constituencies and from the nominating committee, is it useful to just go around the room?
Sure.
Yep.
Good. Okay, Tony Harris, which do you prefer?
Number two.
Which is including morality and public order. So number two is the morality and public order. And that's the ISP's position, or it's Tony Harris's position?
ISP's position.
Thank you. Philip?
Two, and the BC's position.
I'm just typing this up as I'm going, so just bear with me one second. John, Bing?
I'm also for two. I don't feel that we have explored alternative formulations to morality and public order. But with that caveat, I support you.
Thank you, John. Robin?
Yes. If the recommendations specifically assert jurisdiction... ...minority report.
Sorry, Robin, there was a big squeak on your line. Would you just say what you said again, please?
Sure. If the recommendations assert jurisdiction over morality or...
Sorry. Well, operator, could you just mute that line, please, until we sort out what the problem is, please? Robin, can you hear me?
Yes. You want me to try to say that again?
Third one, please, if you can. It keeps squeaking. Do you have a mobile phone on near your phone?
No. No, I'm on my regular landline.
Try again, then.
Yeah. Let's see. If the recommendations assert jurisdiction over morality and public order, specifically those words, then we'll file a minority report.
Okay, wait a second. Do you support the strings must not be contrary to generally accepted and internationally recognized principles? Do you support that one?
Yeah, because the word morality.
That's number one.
That's number one, Robin.
Right.
Number one does not include.
Does not include morality in public order. It just, and I'll read it again for you. Strings must not be contrary to generally accepted and internationally recognized principles of law.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
the NPUC supports that.
To what was agreed to in last week's sub.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Thank you. Okay, just to be very clear. Christina?
I personally favor recommendation, the formulation 2, and I'm waiting for formal IPC sign-off, but I expect to get that.
So I could put Christina question mark IPC, yeah?
Correct.
Thank you. Whoops, IPC. Sorry, bear with me 1 second. Avery?
I personally don't support either formulation. Because I don't include the word morality. So I don't support either, but I'll follow through with either.
Sorry, Abby, just to be very clear, because we're reaching the very pointy
right.
end of this discussion.
Right. So
do you support formulation 1?
No.
Okay, and you
don't support
formulation 2?
No.
Okay, and then so...
That's an abstention, then.
I'm an abstention. I don't support either of them as currently written, but I realize I'm alone.
Okay, that's fine. So I can just put that aside, and presumably, Avery, you'll deal with that in your personal statement.
Right. At the end of it all, I'll be putting out a list of things that I accept, but I have concerns about.
Okay. Thank you. John Nevitt. John Nevitt, come back off mute if you can. I'll move on from John and have him come back in a second. David Maher. Glenn, are you still on the line?
I think Glenn left a long time ago.
Did she? I know she did. She's gone to the doctor.
Liz, could I make a suggestion?
Yes, please, Tony.
I think if people have dropped off the line, perhaps one thing you could do is send them an email. We all see the email and ask the question, you know, do you want one or two?
Yep, that's what I will do, Tony. I was just hoping to hear from it. I'm pretty sure that David supports the second formulation for the RYC, and I'm just going to double-check that with him directly and with John Nevitt. I'm just going to make a note here, and I can send a note to those two immediately after we finish the call.
I'm sorry, this is John. I just
Oh, thank you, John.
About,
sorry
no,
about that.
I, sorry about that. Are we just still voting on...
Yes, we are. I'd like you to express a preference for either Formulation 1, which is without morality in public order, or Formulation 2, which is the generally accepted legal norms relating to morality in public order. Please.
We don't have a registrar position on this yet, so we don't have a vote from a registrar perspective. From my personal perspective... I think ICANN needs the ability to reject a string application based on morality and public order. I'm still unconvinced or still on the fence of whether we need to put the actual language in or not. So
okay.
I'll abstain as well.
Thank you, John. Would you mind then confirming for me when the registrars would have a position, please? Because it's a very important piece of the work, and we're trying to work towards having...
I'm not going to put that to a vote. This one issue to a vote. We're going to take the whole thing as a whole.
Oh, great. Okay, that's fine. In that case, because what I'm trying to do as I'm taking these notes is to think about how I'm going to speak about this in the final report that will be acceptable to everybody to represent everyone's position correctly. Mm. David Maher, are you back off mute? Okay. That leaves us with the ISPs, the business constituency, John Bing, the IPC, subject to Christina's confirmation, all, and to my knowledge, the registries supporting that position. The registrars will come back to us if and when they need to, and it leaves us with Avery in her personal statement and the NCUC submitting a minority report on the basis of those two different formulations. Is there anything else anyone wanted to add or question or bring up?
Philip, I need to say I must leave this call, I'm afraid, but I hope that if Recommendation 20 is looked at later today, then...
Yep, 6:30, Philip.
the wording that I put into that could be considered. I saw some good comments from Chuck, so there seems to be some...
Does that mean you won't be on the call?
No, I can't, exactly.
Okay, no problem. That's fine. I've got it anyway. Yeah, I can better do that for you. Thanks, Philip.
Thanks.
Okay. Is there anything else anyone wants to bring up before we end the call?
I got to say, I think this has been really useful in
all
making
right.
sure that everybody's points of views were actually discussed in detail, and I really appreciate the effort everyone's been putting in.
Thank you, Avery. If there's nothing else that anyone wishes to bring up, I think the next step for me is to send around a consolidated email, which I've been writing as people have been speaking, and I'll just now clear it up. Sorry, clean it up so that it makes sense, because I've been taking notes whilst I've been speaking. And Robin, I think we discussed last week on the bigger committee call that the minority statement would be available for the group by the 20th, and I realise that's a very short time frame for you, but presumably this is nothing new for the NCUC, and you will have already had most of your material prepared. Is that going to cause you any issue?
No, I don't think so. It may be more of an issue on 20 because that seems to be somewhat more of a moving target than 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
But leaving aside 20 for a second, you're going to be okay with this for the variant statement by Friday?
Yep.
Lovely, thank you. If there's nothing else, everybody, could I thank you all very much for coming? Christina, if you could please confirm for me as soon as possible so
sure.
I can correctly characterize the IPC.
Absolutely.
John, I understand the registrar's position, and I will get in touch with David Maher immediately and the registry's constituency and just ask them to confirm the support for the second formulation, which is where I think they sit. And if there's nothing further, then we can finish the call.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, everybody.
For people doing 20, are we just staying on, or do I...
No, we're not. Christina, in half an hour, I just need to clean this up, get it out,
okay.
and then start the 20 call.
Okay. All righty.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.